We want to welcome you all again to Dallas Baptist Church. We're glad you're here this morning. We're going to be wrapping up the series on spiritual warfare today. Like I told the first service, I hope, and it actually worked in the first service. They had to listen fast because I kind of shifted into a high gear. So I'm going to ask you all to kind of listen fast because we will be moving along very quickly. Again, we're wrapping up starting in Ephesians 6, and I'm going to be picking up starting in the 14th verse. We covered a little bit of that last week, and I'm going to go ahead and read that part again that we're going to be looking at this morning. So if you do have your Bibles, open up to chapter 6, starting in verse 14. And the word says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth." Remember, we looked at that last week. That's that belt of truth. "Having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all," and I think that's a very important little word, "all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Praise God. Amen. Take up. We looked at that before. Take up, put on the full armor of God. It is, you know, we're going to just jump right in. The second piece of armor that Paul talked about here is this body armor. It's real honest and good as body armor. And that's what he's talking about that you and I need to have on. And he calls it the breastplate. What does a breastplate cover? Vital organs. It covers this part of our body. So it's what's the one that is probably the most important one that's there? The heart. So the breastplate covers the heart and all of the vital organs of this Roman centurion. There was not a Roman centurion or a Roman soldier alive who would go out into battle without his body armor on. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't leave it back in the billets. That was the number two piece that went on. He put on that belt, he put on that breastplate, because without it, he knew he was going to be in trouble. He had to have that baby. It's kind of like our modern soldier today, wherever they may be fighting, and they're fighting all over the world. They're facing all sorts of adversity. But there isn't a fighting soldier out there today who wants to fight another day that doesn't wear his Kevlar. He puts it on today because he wants to stop the shrapnel. He wants to stop the bullets. He wants to stop all the other stuff that's flying around in the battlefield that might get him. You know, and it might be hot where he's at. Amen? It might not be easy to carry all this stuff, but it won't do you any good if it's sitting back there in the billets, in your home, or lying in your truck, or lying in your car. It won't do you a bit of good. You might as well have not even had it at all. So Paul goes on and says that we as Christians, then, we need to pick up this breastplate and we need to put it on because this is part of the armor, and it's our armor of righteousness. Now, I want us to look at kind of the application on this, because what is it that's in our chest? We said already, it's our what? It's our heart, right? But from a spiritual standpoint, what is it that really the center is all about? When we talk about the heart, what are we really talking about? Kind of the center of who we are, the core, if you will. The thing that's really makes us what we are. It's a reference then to who we really are. And you know what? That needs to be protected. That's why this breastplate is so important, because if we get corrupted, if our heart gets corrupted, if our core gets corrupted, we're corrupt. Amen? It's one of the problems that we've got right now going on all over the world in all forms of leadership. There's too much corruption, and the corruption is down there in the heart. Amen? Garbage in, what are you going to get back out? Garbage, right. You know, it's really interesting. Lord Jesus Christ even talked about this himself back in Gospel of Matthew, back in the 17th verse. If we go back in there and you flip back over there real quick, it says, "Do you not understand that everything goes in the mouth, passes into the stomach, and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things that defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands doesn't defile the man." It's all the stuff then that comes back out of the heart who really makes, that makes, tells us who, you know, tells other folks who in the heck we really are, doesn't it? Amen. You know, so all of this stuff, if we put in garbage, what are we going to get back out? Garbage. You know, this is why Paul talks about the breastplate of righteousness. So as he talks about this thing called righteousness, well, he pulls, really, the Greek pulls from the old Hebrew, and it means to make or keep clean. That's really what righteousness is about. It's to make or keep clean. A better word even still is to be pure. To keep or make pure. Amen? Hello? Okay. So this breastplate has to do with keeping our core, having to do with keeping our hearts pure. Right? So that means if you put on the breastplate of righteousness, you're going to put on a breastplate of purity. And that means that your motives are going to stay pure. Because if you've got pure thoughts and pure heart, your motives come out that way. And you know what? That's the same way that God looks at us. God looks at you and me and looks for purity. Hello. If you don't think so, go back and look in Psalm chapter 24, starting down there about the third verse. It says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul in falsehood, who has not sworn deceitfully, and he will receive a blessing from the Lord." Wow. Interesting. You think God's looking for pure hearts? How pure is your heart this morning? If I want to get close to God, it says I got to have a pure heart. There is no other way to be close to God if you don't have, other than having a pure heart. God says that the person that he really wants, the person that he's going to let come and get close to him, is the one who's got a pure heart. Now, does that mean you got to be perfect? No. And it's a good thing, because we would be in a world of hurt if we had to be perfect, wouldn't we? Because I can't do it. I can try to be perfect. You can try to be perfect. But you know what happens? We don't make it, do we? We draw up short. But having this pure heart, I'm going to tell you how you can tell whether or not you got a pure heart. When you do something wrong, do you feel instantly, "Oops, I shouldn't have done that"? That's your pure heart talking to you. If you don't feel that, you got a problem. Amen? You know, that's part of what keeps us centered as Christians. We do something wrong, what do we do? Blow it off, right? No. You want to take care of it, whatever it may be. It may be that you need to go repent to the Lord. Maybe you wronged him. Take care of it. It may be that you wronged somebody else. Go take care of it right now, not later. Amen? Because then that pure heart is able to stay clean. You don't want to defile it. Jesus also said, "Blessed are the pure in heart," for what's going to happen to them? "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall..." Okay, new preaching series. We're going to go back to the Sermon on the Mount. No. "They shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." In other words, those who have pure hearts will be able to get close to God. And there's only one way that you and I can get close to God. One way. And his name is Jesus Christ. That's the only way. We got to have Jesus Christ in our lives in order to be able to get close to God. Period. End of statement. Amen? So if you really want to be blessed, and if you really want to have blessings in your family, if you really want to be blessed in your business, if you really want to be blessed in your finances, if you want to be blessed in everything you do and in everything you are, you got to start with having a pure heart. And that means you got to get close to God. And that means you've got to know Jesus Christ. So we put on this belt of truth, amen, and then we're going to put on this breastplate of righteousness, which stands for purity, and out of that purity, my motives are going to stay clear. They're not going to get clouded. They're not going to get dirty. How's the purity of your heart? Once again, amen. I'm going to tell you why this is so important. The reason I'm hammering on this one so much is because Satan loves to get you on this one. He loves to get you on the purity of heart. See, he wants to get his foot in the door because he knows if he can bust through your purity, you are a goner. You're done. He's got you where he wants you. And he will attack you every way possible. And one of his favorite tools, folks, is moral impurity. He loves to use moral impurity to bust you and to get your pure heart kicked aside. And this is why if you watch pornography, you're going to have a problem. If you watch movies that have got crap in them, you're going to have a problem. If you read books like that 50 Shades of Grey, which is one of the latest ones, you're going to have problems. If you listen to some of the junk songs that are out there that have got all of the bad messages in them, you're going to have problems because you're putting garbage in. And you know what you're going to get back out? Garbage back out. Period, end of statement. I'll put it another way. Let's say you were thirsty. And you say, Pastor, I'm thirsty. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I know of two sources you can go get water. One of them, you go down there by Hillside, and there's a water purification plant down there, sewage plant. You can drink out of it if you want to, where the water goes in and all the sewage stuff goes in, right? The other one is down there in Dallas, and they've got this nice little fountain, and it's spring-fed. It's clean. Which one are you going to go to? See, none of you are going to go down there and drink out of the gutter. You're not going to go down there and drink out of where the sewage stuff all goes, are you? You're going to go want to drink out of the fountain that's clean. So why do we watch gutter television? Why do we read gutter books? Amen? Why do we listen to gutter music? Why do we watch gutter internet? Why do we watch gutter stuff? Why do we put gutter trash into our lives? Hello. If you want to have a pure heart, you've just taken off your breastplate and slung it aside. If you're doing the porn thing, if you're doing the rotten movie thing, if you're doing the rotten book thing, if you're doing the rotten song thing, you took your armor off. You threw it aside. You said, I don't need it. And you're going to get polluted, my friend. And you're going to wonder why you're not being blessed. How are you going to get close to God when you got all that stuff going on? Amen? Thank you. Some of you might say, well, Pastor, I can get by with that. It's okay. It's that type of stuff. I'm okay with that. I can watch it, and I know what it is, and it doesn't bother me. Folks, you got a problem if you can say that. You got a real serious problem because it means your conscience has already been seared. And the very fact that you can listen to trash talk or foul language and you can't and you don't cringe says that you got a problem and that your heart's not pure. And that you threw your armor right aside. If you're a Christian, and that's where you're living, you need to repent. And you need to ask the forgiveness of God and ask Him to give you your pure heart back. Amen? Because He will. Because if you don't have a pure heart, I'm going to tell you right up front, if you don't have a pure heart, you are an easy mark for Satan. You just put the target on yourself. You took your armor off and you drew a target right on your heart. And you say, go ahead, Satan, shoot away. Here I am. I'm yours, baby. If we're going to show Jesus Christ, and we're supposed to, amen? Hello. If we're going to show Jesus Christ, if we're going to win those spiritual battles, we got to have the belt of truth on and we got to have that breastplate of righteousness on. Okay, next thing Paul talks about, he talks about the centurion's feet. I'm glad the guy isn't here today, and I'm glad he's not standing here with smelly feet. Because I got a feeling their feet didn't smell all that good. They had those sandals on, it was hot, it was sweaty, and I got a feeling they just had a little stinky feet. But the interesting thing about the shoes that the soldiers wore, they had two types of sandals. One of them were their battle sandals. The other ones were their street sandals. The battle sandals had these hobnails through the soles. They had nails coming out of the bottom, kind of like cleats. And you know why they needed them? Because the battlefield was messy. It was hand-to-hand combat with swords, spears, anything you could slice up the other guy with. And I'm going to tell you what, the battlefields got really messy. They got bloody, and they got slippery. And you know what happened? If a soldier couldn't stand firm, he'd slip. And when he slipped, he was a goner. Amen? Because somebody was going to put a spear through him, a sword through him, or something, or stomp him. So the soldier had to be able to take his stand, and he had to be able to stand firm. So they wore these sandals that literally had nails through the bottom of them, so they could, in fact, stand firm. And Paul calls this, I love how he calls it, shod your feet with the gospel of peace. I'm not so sure if it's, it's not going around stomping folks with nail sandals. But what he's saying is if you and I really want to stand up to the storms of life, and that's where this comes in, if we're going to stand up to the storms of life, then we need to be at peace. Because if you don't have the peace of Jesus Christ in you, there is no way you're going to be able to stand up to the storms of life. And that means you've got to have something that really gives you some firm footing on the ground. There's three types of peace that you and I need, folks. Number one is we need to have peace with God. Because that's where it starts. And then you've got to have peace with yourself. And that comes out of knowing God. And then out of that, you're going to have peace with your fellow mankind. And Jesus told us real plain in the Great Commandment. He said, anybody remember what the Great Commandment said? Love the Lord your God with, come on. And then the second commandment was, love your neighbor as yourself. So he's saying, well, number one, be reconciled to God, right? That's first. Out of that, then, you're going to be reconciled to yourself. But then he says, be reconciled to your brother, to the people that are out there. And basically what it's telling us is, you know what? If you got conflict going on in your life, you've opened yourself back up to satanic attack. If you've got a conflict going on with another brother or sister, whether they be in Jesus Christ or whether they be just a fellow human being, if you got a conflict, you've opened yourself up to the devil's attacks once again. You took off your shoes, you threw them down, and you said, here I am. I don't need this peace. The peace starts, though, with love, with a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because out of that, everything else flows. And Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians. He reminded us in chapter 5 that God sent Jesus Christ to come and to bring peace between all of the world. He was reconciling all of the world to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. And we all go as Christians, we go, got that, amen? I got that. I've been reconciled. But why don't I have peace? Anybody asking that question? You can ask that up here. Why don't I have peace then? It's because we've got unreconciled relationships between ourselves and God, between ourselves and ourselves, and between ourselves and somebody else. It's because we're not wearing those shoes of peace. See, got to have the breastplate on, got to have the belt on, and you got to have the shoes of peace. Next thing Paul tells us, back up. Look at your life, and if you've got conflict going on, look in that area. Look and see whether or not, number one, you're reconciled with God right this moment. Are you reconciled with yourself? And are you reconciled with other people? Because if you got conflict going on, if you're getting attacks, the likelihood is you got a problem in one of those. Amen? Next thing old Paul talks about, he says there's this other piece of armor. And look down here. This is one of the key ones. He says in verse 16, he says, in addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith. This baby is so important. You see, it's not something I'm going to leave and hope that I don't need. but I'll go running back to it when I think I'm going to need it. I got to carry that puppy with me all the time. I got to carry it when I go down to buy gasoline. I got to go take it when I go down to the grocery store. I got to definitely take it when I go to Wally World. I've got to take it wherever I go. I really do. I've got to have the shield of faith with me. And that thing is heavy. It's kind of like the Roman shield. The Roman shield that the soldiers used was really something. And it's one of the reasons why Paul was able to draw this picture here. He says, with it you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. This thing was heavy. It was wooden. And it was covered over with a skin. And you know what they did with the skin? They soaked it in water before they went out in battle. And you know why? Because the bad guys on the other side usually were shooting arrows that had been dipped into pitch and set on fire. And if you had a nice dry shield, which would have been lighter, guess what happens when those arrows get into it? You've got kindling. You have a fire. And your buddies next to you aren't going to like to be standing next to you with your flaming shield. Flaming shields are not good when you're in combat and you're the guy holding it. Not a good thing. So they wet them down. And Paul said that really this heavy shield would absorb all of that stuff, and it would even extinguish all of those flaming arrows that are shot out by who? Satan. And you know what? Satan knows that he goes, I don't want these Christians carrying that puppy because it's going to put out my darts. I want my darts to get through. And I'm going to tell you, he's going to throw a whole bunch of them at you. You've probably had a half dozen of them at least thrown at you this week. I don't know. When he comes to me, he usually uses an automatic dart thrower. You know, he loads that thing up, and it must have a 100-round or 200-round clip. And it's just brrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr Paul said, we need this shield. Now, the reason we need this shield of faith, and he called it the shield of faith, because what is it that faith provides us? Faith provides us certainty. Amen. Because of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am certain about a whole lot of things. And if my faith is strong and I'm walking in my faith, I'm going to be certain about a whole bunch of stuff even here on earth. And I'm going to be 100% certain that what God says, God's going to do. I know that if I walk out of here and some Taliban or some, you know, Al-Qaeda guy or whatever sets off some type of detonation device and I get blown away, you know what? That's okay. I'm going home. I'm going to be Jesus. I know where I'm going. I know what God's word says. I stand on God's word. And I know that no matter what I go through, God is going to be there with me. I know that God's going to protect me. I know I'm going to be safe with him, period, irregardless. Maybe it's kind of like the old saying. You know, there's an old saying that's always floated around in church life and everything. It says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen? Maybe a lot of us believe that. But maybe what we really ought to go is, God said it, that settled it, and you know what? Whether or not I believe it, it's still truth. Because if God said it, it's done. Now let's think for a minute what some of these fiery darts are that you get that get hurled at you, because all of us get them. You know where most of them come? Where are they aimed? Yeah, he wants them to get into your heart, and here's the other place he wants them, up in your mind. So why do you have this shield? I mean, you got a breastplate on, that's gonna protect your heart, right? But you've got this shield that you're holding, and what's it gonna do? It's gonna protect your head, just like the helmet will a little bit later on. Satan loves to put stuff into your head. What's one of his worst darts that he throws at us? Doubt. Amen? Doubt. It's one of the best weapons that he's got. He'll do the, did God really say that? He surely didn't mean that. That would mean that you can't have fun. Can I really trust God in this situation? Amen? What is Satan nailing you with? The doubt dart. What about if you're sharing your faith with somebody, or you're telling somebody that, you know, the Bible says da 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 da, and they say, well, that's just your interpretation, and you go away and you go, huh? Maybe they're right. Is that doubt? Amen. Or what if you said, did God really mean it when he said that you're not supposed to be sleeping around? That sex is supposed to be for after marriage? Or you're supposed to treat your fellow brothers with love? Or, oh, thou shalt not steal? And you go down through the whole list? Amen? Did God really mean that? Well, maybe we can get technical. Maybe he really meant that it was just this, but technically, amen? Technical truths. Or how about this one? Lord, I've been praying for this. I've been asking you for this. I've been waiting patiently for this. Why is it taking so long? Are you really going to deliver? Where did that doubt baby come from? Amen? See, so we start talking about, why is it so hard to make our marriage work? Hello? Why is it so hard to get the job that we want? All these things, when they start to come into our mind, we better have the certainty of walking with the Lord, of knowing him. We're in this recession thing right now. Here's America. It's supposed to be the wealthiest nation on the earth. At least it used to be. I don't know if we still are or not. But anyway, we're heading toward bankruptcy. Do you realize that? Does that blow you? I mean, does that blow you away? Does that, you know, knock you down and you go, oh my gosh, we're doomed. We can't do anything anymore. Amen? But we are. I mean, that's uncertainty. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Do you? Do you know what the stock market's going to do tomorrow when it opens? Do you know whether your job's going to be there tomorrow? Amen. So when everything's kind of uncertain, don't you need something to kind of stabilize it and put it back in right order? That's what faith is about. Hello? That's what faith is all about. Because in the midst of whatever there is going out there, I'm certain that my God is in control. Thank goodness. Irregardless of what happens, my God is in control. Jesus Christ. So we need this shield of faith, because we got to extinguish those arrows that old Satan just sits there and blasts away at us. Amen? It's another reason why Paul said carry it. He said carry the shield of faith, because Satan's going to be always shooting at you. And most of the time he is using that automatic weapon. He wants some of those suckers to get through. Next thing Paul talks about is the helmet of salvation. This is probably the most important piece of armor that the soldier wore, because you know what? If you got back in his day when Paul was writing this, if a soldier got blasted in the head and got a head wound, he was a goner. He was done. It was basically a mortal wound. They didn't have all the technologies. They didn't have the medical science like we've got today. So if a guy got, you know, wounded in the head, he was pretty much gone. He was just he was not only out of commission, he was probably going to die. So Paul says you need to put on the helmet of salvation. You and I need that. And we remember that, what is the helmet there for? It's to protect our head, isn't it? Hello? And what's in our head? Well, we got brains, I hope. I think I put mine in this morning. I'm not sure, but most of us have brains, you know. But there's something else that's up there in our head. It's called our mind, isn't it? Amen? And so I want to protect my mind. Don't you? You want to protect your mind. And what do we want to protect it from? We want to protect it from the evil thoughts that Satan's going to sit there and try to feed into it. Because it's an easy place for him to attack us again. It's another one of those things that we're vulnerable in. In a world that we're living in, it is so easy to come up with evil thoughts today. Will you agree? I do it more times than I really like to. But it's real easy. You know? That's not what it's about, though. So what is it that we're going to do? What are we really going to protect protect our mind with? Well, Paul tells us. He says it's the helmet of salvation. I'm going to protect my mind with the salvation of my Lord Jesus Christ. That's really what it is, and that is impenetrable, let me tell you. There's nothing that'll get through that rascal. Because Jesus gave me a brand new mind the moment I got saved. I don't have an old mind. I got a new mind. I got a mind of Christ now. He gave it to me. Because outside, before I knew Jesus, I had no protection whatsoever for Satan. And he could sit there and just deluge me and throw all sorts of thoughts into my head. But with the helmet of salvation, now I'm shielded with the salvation of my Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why I'm constantly reminded, you know, as some of this stuff that I think it, you think it. I mean, we all do. It's just the time, day and time we live in. But God keeps taking me back to Colossians chapter 3. Keep your minds on things above, Jer. Put them on the things that are good. I can't choose what's going to happen to me. You can't choose what's going to happen to you. And if you think so, you're crazy. But you know what you can choose? You can choose what you're going to think. Every one of you. You can choose what you're going to think. You can choose that you're going to think on the things that are good, the things that are pure, and the things that are of the Word of God. And that's why we've got to keep the helmet of salvation where it belongs, because it helps us do that. There's one final piece of armor, weaponry really, and we're going to look at that. That's this guy's sword. It's not that big broad sword like we were talking about, you know, last week. This is the close combat short sword. It's kind of like a little bit bigger than a dagger. It's about that big. Because I'll tell you what they were doing. The Romans, as they had their shields up, and they were always moving forward slowly, even in defensive position. And boy, let somebody get close enough to them to take that little 18-incher and put it in them. And they put that pig sticker in them in a heartbeat. Constantly pushing back. And this is why it's so important. They were defensive. The whole thing was defense against all of the attack, but it was also offensive because they never stopped. They didn't want to go back. They were going to go forward. They were going to take the ground, period. And so they'd use this shorter sword because you've got the shield up and you can do this. Amen? It's kind of hard to be having your shield up and, you know, swinging around over. You're going to drop your shield so that you can swing that big baby. But you can take that shield and you can get the guy. But Satan loves, he wants to get you. You've got to remember you're in a battle. And you need all your weaponry so that you can, push against him. And see, we're basically, in our spiritual battles, we're meeting Satan head on. You really are. Whether you like to believe it or not, you are doing it. And the way you've got to be constantly on your guard, realizing that you're going, Satan, you're not getting my family. I'm not giving in, bud. Satan, you're not getting my job. I'm not giving in to you. You're not getting my career. You're not getting my marriage. You're not getting my mind, buddy. I'm not giving in. I'm staying. I'm shod in those wonderful boots that have nails in them. The gospel of peace. Amen? I've got my shield of faith. And I've got the word, the sword. So I take up the sword of the Spirit. And the Bible said it is what? It is the word of God. That means that the Bible is that's your sword, folks. God's word is your sword. And the Bible tells us that what? The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? It's sharper. But I'm going to tell you something else. It doesn't do you a bit of good if you don't know it. If you don't know it, it doesn't do you a bit of good. If it's sitting there on your table at the house, and that's where it picks up dirt all week long, it's not doing you a bit of good. If it's sitting on a bookshelf someplace, it's not doing you any good. If you got an electronic one and it's never open, it's not doing you any good. You've got to memorize Bible and put it into your mind if you're going to be able to beat back the attacks of the evil one. Because the Word of God is your sword. You see, Jesus himself taught us how to fight Satan. He really did. Go back and read sometime about the temptations. Satan twists scripture and he'll throw stuff at you and he'll load up the dart and he'll go pew and let her fly. And you know how you fend it off? You fend it off with the truth. You fend it off with the true word. You fend it off with God's word and you quote God's word back to him. You know, when Jesus was going through that, Jesus didn't pull out his little pocket New Old Testament and go, wait a minute, Satan, hold on, I got to look this up. I think it's in Deuteronomy someplace. Wait a minute here, let me see. You say, worship me. Where does it say something about you shall, I can't remember. Jesus didn't do that. Amen? What did he do? He quoted it right back to him. See, he didn't go someplace looking for it. He knew those verses that were going to be, his hammer, if you will. Let's say, you know, gals, let's say you go over to Needless Markup. And you go and see this beautiful $300, $400, $500 dress. And you go, wow, boy, that would sure be nice. And about that time you hear this voice say, yeah, you'd sure look sexy in that. That is really nice. And you're going, yeah, but I can't afford this. Put it on your charge card. Yeah, but I got other expenses coming along. Put it on your charge card. It's okay. You can pay for it over time. Don't sweat it. You deserve it. Amen. If you don't know that the Bible talks about stewardship and not spending money that you don't have, it's not going to do you a bit of good. Your sword was left back at the house. Amen. See, it's too late to pull out the Bible and go looking for it when you're being attacked. You've got everything else and you're busy. So you need to have these passages that speak to those areas that you know that you have some trouble with. Put them into your heart. Dig out those passages. Memorize them because you're going to be pulling them back out. Memorize the ones that you know that you know you're going to have to use. If you suffer from greed, you better go find some of the passages on greed. See what God says about greed. If you suffer from anger, maybe you blow all the time. Or maybe you're like a whale. You know. You better know some of the passages on anger. And they hide them in your heart so that you're able to use them. If you got a problem watching where your eyes go, you better have some of the passages for it. You probably won't be able to sit down and memorize the whole entire Bible. Most of us don't have that ability or won't take the time. Amen? But we sure as heck can sit down and memorize the ones that we're going to really need in this battle. Amen? Amen? Otherwise, Satan's going to put those thoughts in your mind and you've got nothing to fight back with. And you're going to be going fumble, fumble, fumble. But when you quote the Word of God back to him, let me tell you, you just defeated him. You knocked him down. How do you put all this armor on? Anybody know? Look at verse 18, because this is important. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. If you're struggling, if you know that you got a purity problem, pray that God will give you a pure heart. Ask God for it. If you've got an anger problem, pray and ask God that he'll give you what you need. Whatever it is, as you put these pieces on, ask God to just give it to you and to help you put it on and to help you keep it on. Amen? You know what the beautiful part about being a Christian is? It's simple. We just try to make it complicated. It's like the old Nike saying, just do it. Just do it. It's God's word, and he gave it to us for a reason. He wants to see us really victorious. He wants us out there being able to show Jesus Christ to all of your friends, your workers, co-workers, people around you, people that you interact with. And he wants you to be protected as Satan lets go with his volley of arrows. Let him. Pray to him. Ask him. And he will. Father, thank you that you've equipped us. Thank you that you even give us battle drill. Thank you that you tell us in advance what it's going to be like. Thank you for showing us all of those pitfalls that are out there. And Father, if there be any who are here or any who are listening on the internet and they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they turn their life over to him, accepting his forgiveness, repenting of their sins, and accepting the blessed gift of salvation, so that they too can have that special armor that you made, that you have in place for each one of us. Lord, for us who already know you, if we're struggling with any of these areas in life where we're letting the enemy get through, help us to adjust our armor. Help us to be firm. Help us to be able to stand. Help us to remember to take it up all the time and to use it. Father, if there be any decisions that need to be made today, probably as part of this spiritual battle that we fight, I just pray, Father, that we would go ahead and submit to you and say yes. Maybe it's an admission of weakness where we can't do it on ourselves, but we really need your help. Maybe it's thoughts. Whatever it might be, Father, may we just honor you this morning. And I just give this to you in your precious name, Jesus. I thank you. Thank you for being there for each one of us. In your name, dear Lord, in your name, amen. Praise team, would you go ahead and begin playing a little bit? And if there's something that you need to get straightened up this morning, do so. Just do it. Just do it. It's that simple. Let God. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to win. He's already won the battle, but he wants you to win. Let him let you. Let him help you do it. So during these next moments where they're just going to be playing quietly, if you want to pray, do so. If there's a decision you need to make, if it's between you and the Lord, do it. Maybe there's a reconciliation that you need to accomplish. Maybe he's nailed you. Do it. Whatever it might be, honor him this morning. Start living that victorious life.